Okay. This morning we'll be in chapter what?
61.
Only five more chapters this book. It's been several years, but no sense getting in a hurry, is there? Get a good bite when you're going through.
It's so amazing they turn it right up to there.
Imagine that. Okay, I'll start out by reading it. It's only 11 verses, but there's a lot of stuff in this thing. Getting in some real good parts of the chapter, the book now. I mean, it's really getting in some neat stuff, I think. The whole book's neat. Okay, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame, you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Now let's go back and see what it says. Unscramble King James. First verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And here's what it literally says, "The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh." And what it is, the word Adonai is a title spoken instead of Yahweh to display reverence. But guess what? They turned right around and said Yahweh right behind it. That's pretty amazing. A little double talk there. He said, "The Spirit of God is upon me." And then you see there's a semicolon, correct? Does your book have a semicolon there? Does it have a colon, a comma, or what? Okay, good enough. There's a break here. How's that? Okay. And because we're changing something here. He made a statement, now he's going on. And this says, "Because the Lord," that's Yahweh, "has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek." He said, "The Spirit of God is upon me because God has appointed me to do something. To preach good tidings, good news." How about that? That's what the gospel is, good news. And tell me what's good news about 90% of the world going to hell and burning and being tormented forever. I don't see that would qualify as good news, would you? I can't get that one.
It would be overcrowded.
It would be overcrowded, yeah. Even in there, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." This doesn't seem like condemnation and judgment to me, a negative judgment, does it? "To proclaim liberty," the word liberty should be freedom. "To proclaim freedom." What's negative about that? "To the captives, and the opening of the prison. Now this word prison right here literally isn't the word prison. It literally speaks of your eyes. To open the eyes of them that are bound, or literally imprisoned. So people that are imprisoned, all you need to do is have your eyes opened to see what God is doing, your ears open to hear what God is saying. And guess what you'll be? You'll be free. And only by the Spirit can you do this. It's not you doing it. It's not you controlling the Spirit, but it's the Spirit of God. Just like in the New Testament, it says about the spiritual gifts, that the Spirit divides them severally as He wills, not as you will or desire. It's about what God is doing and God's timing. And if you try to do anything outside of that, you're just wasting your energy. You're treading in quicksand. You're not going anywhere, are you? So it's all about the reason that God's Spirit is upon anybody. Guess what? It's because of what God, it's God's timing. It's not about what we do. And literally, because this being Old Testament, everybody says, well, that Spirit of God was upon him. It wasn't in him yet. But I beg to differ that. I still think that the word should be, the Spirit of God is in me because. Okay, it's not just poured on the outside of me. It's permeated throughout your being. Okay, so it should be in. Beg pardon?
Bound in the prison of Carl Meyer.
Sure it is. Absolutely. We'll get there in a little bit more. It's going to come back out a little later, I believe, but something else about that. But it is inside. It's the carnal mind. Verse 2, it goes on and says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable year, it literally should say the desirable time of the Lord. The desirable time of the Lord. The day of vengeance of our God, of our Elohim. And to comfort all that mourn. Now, when you put this word vengeance in there, everybody hears a negative thing, don't they? Well, no, it's not really that word, but still the context of that word is not being used properly. It's not in a negative way. See? Now, when God takes vengeance upon the wicked, what's everybody think, first of all?
They think you're killing all the bad people.
That's right. They think you're killing all the bad people, doing away with them. But he's talking about the wicked inside of each one of us. The carnality that we have. See, so we have to realize in the context of these words, the word vengeance is used properly, but when you don't understand how it's being used, you want to point, well, he's going to get a bunch of people. That's not what it's about. He's taking the wicked out of us. Okay?
He's purifying
us, absolutely. But to comfort all that mourn. How many people you reckon are mourning?
Only two or three.
Well, let me put it this way, about 10%. Because most of the world is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the first fruit sons of God who mourn because of the understanding they have and yet don't see the completeness of everything yet. They realize how much suffering is going on and they realize they have no control over it. Sure. We understand it, but we got enough sense to keep our hands off of it until God's ready for it. It's His desirable time, not our time. How many of you see people every day you'd love to help, but you can't? Every day of our lives. See? It's not about taking every penny you got in your pocket and giving somebody, then who else are you going to help? It's not what it's about. It's about helping them understand in their minds. If they get their mind right, everything else will take care of it, won't it? You get the internal, because the internal of you controls the external of you, right? You get the internal lined up right, what will the external do? It'll follow suit. It has no choice, does it? Get your mind right. Maybe Teresa hear that this morning, huh? Get your mind right. She loves to say that. But if you get your mind right, all the other issues go away. I mean, all the external issues just don't have the effect on you anymore. It's all about the internal. If we can get our mind right. Don't let no one take your peace from you. God give it to you. Don't give it up for anybody.
It's working from the inside to the out. Just like
that's right.
We've got to be in His image. Exact representation.
Yeah. How many times we see him lose his cool? There's no sense in it. There's no justification in it. There's no reasoning to blow your stack. I've counsel a few people that have anger issues, and what I have found out, what God has revealed to me, is people who have anger issues are people usually that mess with alcohol and drugs. And if they can't get one high, they can get the high off of the other one. And they can get angry and get a rush of adrenaline dumping into their body. And they get a high without paying for it, at least not paying money. Usually when you get adrenaline high off of anger, you'll pay for some other way. Maybe money, but it may be something else too. But the people get these highs off of just getting angry. And they say, that makes them feel better. Well, how much are you willing to pay for it? You know, I don't need that drug. I can get high off of just being who God's created me to be. That's enough for me. And I'd like everybody else to be the same way, but I know it's not possible yet. It'll happen. The ones that's called, they'll come to that place where we don't have to have the anger issues. Okay? Verse 3, is that correct?
Yes.
It says, to a point, or literally, the word point really, I don't think it's a good word here. The word give is what it should be. To give to them that mourn in Zion. Who are we talking about? First fruit. See, the ones in Zion that mourn. To give to them beauty for ashes. For the mourning and the grieving that they're going through. God wants to give you the beauty and the release. So you don't have to, the understanding that you don't have to worry anymore. And it's not just about yourself. It's about everybody else. When you understand God's plan, when He opens it up to you, that He's in control of all things, I don't have to cry anymore when I see someone suffering because I know it's going to bring about some change in their life. It's what happened in our lives, isn't it? Bad things happened, and it brought about some change in our lives. Okay? I understand God's in control either way, so there's nothing I can do about it.
I think that's why you hurt so bad for them, because you know how it feels.
Well, sure you know how it feels. But still, there's no way of getting... A doctor can't get inside of you and cut a tumor out of you of cancer without cutting you open, can he? And God's going to open you up one way or another to get that ugliness and that evil carnal thinking out of our system one way or another. He'll cut it open some way. So, and the word is a sword, isn't it? A sharp two-edged sword to cut you open to get it out. He's going to get it out one way or another. And you could either be sedated by Him and just not resist, or you can fight. And you ever think about getting on the table when a doctor's doing surgery on you and start fighting him? That wouldn't be a good situation, would it?
Yeah. They use the arthroscope now. Yeah. It's much easier.
Much easier. Just go in there and just fix it and come out with a little tiny scar.
Yeah, a little bitty cut.
Yeah.
In the least painful way. As opposed to just cut you wide open and beat you all up.
Okay, it goes on and says, the oil of joy for mourning. So you're going to be, you realize there's no sense complaining anymore because God's in control. And, you know, when you change your world, and I'm talking about that 7 inches between your temples, okay? When you change that world from a world of mourning and complaining and murmuring to a world of joy and peace, that's where the world changes. It starts in you. As each individual, like Lloyd uses that sphere all the time, when that one light comes on, you can't get the second light on until the first light's on, can you? Somebody's got to start somewhere. Why not you? You might say, why you? And God will tell you, because He's told me, why not you? You're mine too. I bought them all. Y'all belong to me. So why not you? So you know what? Change your world, and you'd be surprised what you might do to somebody else's world when they look at your world and see you going through all kinds of turmoil, and yet your light's on. You're not angry. You understand it. It's okay. I'm going the right way, and I hope you see it and come on. You can't make them. Just let them go. Okay. It says, the garment of praise for the spirit of what? You know what that word really says in the Hebrew? Weakness. The garment of praise for the spirit of weakness. When you realize that you have nothing, that you are nothing without Him. What are you in control of?
Nothing.
Then you have to, He said, when you are weak, I'll be what?
Strong.
That's what God was speaking. He said, but when you're strong, I'm going to be weak. I'm going to back out and let you think you are. You're going to learn quickly. You're not. You just think you're strong.
Yeah.
See?
You fall a little bit.
You fall a few times, get a few knots on your head, you'll catch on. So he'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of weakness, that they, cross out the word might, that they be called the trees of righteousness. You want to be called a tree of righteousness? He's telling you all about yourself right here. You should be able to relate to this, okay? We know what trees are. It's humanity. The planting of the Lord, the planting of the Father, that he what?
Be.
That he be. Cross out that word might there. Another might is one of those demonic mites. That he be glorified. God will be glorified when you understand it's not a maybe, but it's a sure thing. He didn't go through all this hoping that he might dredge a few up out of the dregs of the earth, you know. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan is to get them all. But first, the first fruits. Then he'll get them all. Every man in his own order, right? Now we come to verse 4. And you see that King James has a little backwards P sign there behind the 4. That's a context change. They know it was a context change, but they still put it in the same chapter. They just run them all together the way they wanted to. But at least there's a context change. We know that. Now he's talking about those trees, those first fruits, those that mourn in Zion, okay? He's talking about them only. He says, and they shall build, and that word is bana, and it speaks of building a family name, building a reputation. And is that not what we are, lively stones built one upon another? Correct? See, we're not complete as a stone by ourselves, are we? Those stones have to be united, put together by the mortar that God puts between us. And not an untempered, but a tempered mortar through all the seasonings and trials that we go through. Excuse me.
That's what I like, build a family name.
Yeah, the word banah means to build, like building a family name, like building a reputation, a godly name.
To unite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It says the old waste. What do you think the old waste is? That's exactly what it is. That's what you brought up earlier, Lord, about the carnal mind. See, here it comes right back in. It's very plain to me here. I know it's in symbolism, but it's very plain to me. The old waste, carnal mind. And they shall raise up the former desolations. Guess what the former desolation is? The same thing we just spoke about, the old waste. What is it? The old man, say the natural mind. And they shall repair the waste city. This word doesn't have an S on the end of it. It shouldn't. King James does, but it shouldn't. What is the waste city? It's the carnal mind, but rebuild the city. In Revelation, what does it say? He said he saw, John saw a city coming down heaven, the new heavenly Jerusalem, didn't he? As a bride adorned for her husband. This is the bride of Christ, the true church. See, the heavenly Jerusalem. He said they're going to rebuild the old man and make it a new man. Okay? What he say in Corinthians, behold, all things
become
new.
Are
new. Yep. Okay.
Now, is that repair? Is that actually rebuild? Or?
It says repair. It says it's repair is what it says in the language.
Okay.
Repair the waste city. The desolation, now this word desolation literally should be devastation. The devastation of many generations. Now, get what I'm saying here. This is a good one. The devastation of many generations. What was the devastation of many generations? Adam, the thinking process. You're right, Lisa. It's the carnal mind, the Adamic thinking. That's what has devastated many generations. You know what? All generations up until the time of Christ. Every generation has been devastated by that carnal way of thinking. You hear me? And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But they're aliens. See? They're strangers and aliens. They're going to be the ones doing the work. Now, they're the ones as kings now, but there's going to be a change coming. That's the ones that think they're something right now. When you think yourself to be something, what's it say? You're what? You're nothing. In the world today, people put esteem on people that are of low degree in character and nature, but God doesn't miss that, you know. it'll all be the way it's supposed to be when it's turned around. Everybody wants that perfect utopia right now, and it can't be. It can't be till all this is sifted out. Got to be corrected.
They think they're leaders.
They think they are. But you shall be called, where it says named, you shall be called the priest of the Lord. Did he say you might be? He said you shall be. No might, no doubt about that. You men shall call you the ministers, and that word minister also means servants or worshipers of our God. Think. We're servants or ministers or worshipers of our God. That's what they're going to see in you. They're going to recognize it because you don't do it the way everybody else does. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament? He said, they called him a heretic, and he said, you know what? I do worship my God in the way they call heresy. They call heresy. Not God.
It's outside the box.
It's outside the box. So they think it's heresy, but that's the way God... He said, worship him in spirit and truth. And if you don't know the truth, how in the world could you worship him? And you have to be in spirit anyway. You can't be in spirit until God puts the anointing on you.
It's a facade
at best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're doing it by memory. They saw someone else do it, so they just repeat it like a parrot, you know, repeating something. They don't have the understanding. You shall eat, and the word eat here really is the wrong tense. It should say you will be fed. You shall be fed the riches of the Gentiles. So everything that they're hoarding up now, thinking they're better than everybody else because they got more of it than everybody else, guess what? That's for us.
You didn't get the first part of that one.
What? Tell me. Wait, where?
You started out, you shall eat. You didn't do name. Oh, I'm sorry.
We got it.
I moved my fingers.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. If we miss something, we'll back up. But we didn't that time. Okay. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Well, first of all, that word yourselves shouldn't be there at the end. That's an added word. And listen, here's what it really, this word for boast, the word boast really isn't in the language. That's a King James thing. What it just says is it changed places. And in their glory shall you change places. So we're going to change from where the position they were. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Right? Same pattern what he's telling us here. He said, you're going to change place with him because you're going to be sitting in the ruling class. When you give it up now to serve God, God's going to, which he's already chosen you to do it anyway, but when you do what he says, you're going to be sitting in the seat with him, living, ruling, and reigning with him. Okay? Verse 7 had another context change. It should say, because of your shame, you shall have double. Because of the shame and the humiliation that we go through as sons of God, speaking the truth, not going along with the crowd, the flow of everybody else, just the democratic view that we have in America and in most of the world, and for confusion or disgrace, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. You know what? You're going to have a double portion. Just because you didn't have it in this life, you're going to have it in the other one.
So it's okay to be a heretic.
It's okay to be a heretic. It's okay to be different. God created you that way. Be what God's created you to be. Go at it. And it says, ever, and here's the possession. It says, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them. There's what you're going to get. You know why? What did he tell Abraham? I am your great and exceeding reward. Our reward, if you've got God, what are you missing? Nothing. They can have all the stuff, but if you have God, if God is your center, you don't have to worry about anything, because anything you need is already provided. They don't see that. See, they're looking with the natural eye at gold and silver and jewels and palaces and stuff. You know, it's not necessary. I know we all have to have a little bit of money to live, and that's all we need.
But that's just temporary.
It's all temporal.
And he gave you that.
And he gave us that too. Verse 8 goes on and says this, because I, the Lord, love judgment. Now see, judgment is what everybody thinks is negative. And we know now, we've been through it enough many times, that judgment can be positive or negative. A judge can say guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. Of course, in our mindset and in religious mindset, whenever they hear judgment, they drop the hammer on somebody. They're judging you. It's a bad person. Kill that person. Put him in prison. Whatever. Put the negative on him. But God's saying just what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like Stephen said when they were stoning him, the same thought process. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. We've got to be the same way and understand that God has already said, when Jesus asked the Father to forgive everybody, you think he didn't do it? Do you think the first mature son that God brought forth didn't get what he asked from the Father? Come on. How naive would you be to think that God wouldn't give Jesus what he asked for? But a lot of people's thinking process isn't there yet. They don't know the love and understanding of God, the forgiveness of God, how great it is. That's the one that shakes everybody when you start using the F word in church, the forgiveness. They don't understand that word.
To the carnal mind.
Yeah, the carnal mind went the wrong way, you know. But we should all be using the F word in church and everywhere else. Everywhere else we go. Everywhere we go. But anyway, he said he loves that judgment because the judgment is already over. He knows what he's going to do. This thing was settled before the foundation of the world, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So he already knew the answer he was going to speak forth. He'd forgive them. And he said, I hate robbery for burnt offerings. And here's what it should say. I hate something stolen for a burnt offering. And you know what? A lot of people are offering things to God from things they stole. A lot of the ministries say, well, you know, I give a lot of my money back to the church, but they stole it from the people to start with. They did. I mean, they beg money from all over the world, these people. Send me your nickels and dimes. And they come with millions of dollars, and they give $100,000 to the church, and they got millions. Well, really?
That's recycling.
Yeah, I know.
They're green.
they brag about what they give, but it sounds like a lot. But kind of like the political process, like this week, they were in that one Republican debate, and they were talking about Warren Buffett says, you know, he paid 15% of his billions of dollars in taxes, and his tax bracket was 15%. His secretary that just worked for, let's say, $50,000 a year, she had to pay 30%. And that's the same process. See, it's become a legalistic thing. The church has copied off of the world. It's a business. This is not a business. It don't make sense to business people how you can do those things, but God takes care of it. Don't worry about it. Okay, he said, and I will direct their work in truth. He didn't say wealth and riches, did he? He said, I'm going to direct their work in truth. It's not about the finances, is it? It's about the truth.
He's in control.
He's in control of what you got in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. See, everlasting covenant with who? First fruit sons. The first fruit sons and daughters. That's the everlasting covenant. See, the church world thinks all this is about everybody. They got their covenant, but that's not this covenant. There's difference. We can go back to the Old Testament. See, there's the dust, sand, and the stars. There's three covenants made there with Abraham, you know. There was different covenants made with David. They were called the Davidic covenants. There was a lot of covenants made. But every covenant's not for everybody, is it? It's for that group, for those people he's talking about. And God's already made up his mind who he's going with. It's not like we're voting on it, is it? You can't earn your way. It's God's choice. Okay, verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and I like the word masses there a lot better because that word is in there in the language. Their seed shall be known among the masses of people over the whole world, okay? And their offspring or their children among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed. The next word, which, shouldn't even be there. The seed the Lord has blessed. He's going to say, they look at them and say, them and their seed, and say, that's the seed that the Lord has blessed. Every now and then I see some people, and When they ask me, people ask me all the time, how are you today? And I say, I'm outstanding. I'm just, everything's cool. And finally, they, here lately, in the last year or so, they say, I'm just going to quit asking you because I get the same answer every time. I said, well, you can ask me a million times, I'm going to give you the same answer. I'm blessed. I'm outstanding. I have no problems. I said, I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about where I stand spiritually. I have no problem with it. I'm fine. You know, when Paul said in the New Covenant, he said, with whatever lot you're in, learn to be
content.
I'm content there. Whatever he wants, I don't care. Just whatever he wants. Because I know it's the best for me. That's his choice, not mine. I might think it should be up or down a little bit, one way, but he's got it right, so I'm going with that. Yeah. So, and he never said, like the church teaches, if you're content with this one, he'll move you up to the next realm. He didn't say that. He just said, learn to be content wherever you're at. Wherever God's got you, just learn to be content there. And it'll be okay. Okay. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. That's the Father. I'll greatly rejoice in the Father. My soul, and that word soul there, nephesh, really has the connotation of the inner man. My inner man shall be joyful in my Elohim. Lord and God, there are two different words. Everybody thinks the same, but it's not. It's Yahweh and Elohim. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh, the Father, and my inner man shall be joyful in my Elohim, the plurality, first fruit sons. Because he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, literally deliverance. If you look at the word, the first word pops up, deliverance. Doesn't say salvation, it says deliverance. He's clothed me with the garments of deliverance. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments. Now, this word ornaments, not even in the writing. I don't want to shock anybody, but it's not there. What it should say is a headdress. So when the man stands up and getting ready to show himself ready to be married, he's a mature man. Would you agree? And he puts on a headdress. Now, what would they think that would be symbolizing? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Do you hear that? Now, what's just these things are hidden all through here. And he says, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Well, the word jewel isn't there. It's a word called kalah. And you know what it means? Preparation. So it says, like a woman adorns herself with preparation. The bride has to make herself what?
Ready.
Hello. Preparation. Ready for the man, the Christ, to come in. I have to be willing to accept willingly my man, my Christ.
Consummation.
That's all it is to it.
Relationship.
Isn't that beautiful? How God has just woven things all through this stuff here. And most people read over it and have no clue what he's talking about. See, I have to prepare myself to receive my man, my Christ. Beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. In verse 11 it says, because as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth, not before, but from all nations. He's going to make the seed come out of you, because it's already in there. And he's going to make it come out of you in his time. It's even shown naturally that seed can lay in the ground up to 20 years before they germinate. 20 years. I think a seed laid in me for close to 40 before it germinated. Seriously, it did. Before God, it was God's time. And that's not a literal thing anyway, but you know, it's whatever. But can you see the encouragement God's pointing to the first fruit? You don't have anything to worry about. Just go ahead and do what you're supposed to, and he'll take care of it. If we are servants of God, would you all agree that's what we're supposed to be? He's called us to be servants of the Most High God. Okay, if I'm a servant, that means someone possesses me. Would that be right? He would be called my master. Would that be correct statement? Well, whose job is it to take care of the servant? Provide for him.
The master.
The master. That's the way it is in the natural. That's the way it is in the spiritual. So he purchased me, so he has a responsibility to me and each one of you to say the same thing as I'm saying. He is responsible for me. Take care of my needs. Okay. There you go. What do I got to worry about? Only thing I have to, only thing a servant has to do is be obedient to the master. If he says do something, do it.
But in love, you
do it anyway.
Right, you do it anyway. You're not like some people perceive you to be a slave.
But a love slave.
Right.
If you love somebody, what would you not do for them?
Anything.
See?
You can possibly think of.
And I don't have to ask Lisa that because she spoils Lloyd silly. And Lois does the same for me. But I do things for her too, just like Lloyd does things for you, Lisa. You know, these things, it's reciprocal. We do for each other. But it's not just in our relationship, but that should be in our everyday life. To love people and help people. And I know some people's real hard to help. They're real hard to love. There's some nasty, vile people out here. And no matter what you do, they're trashing you over it. You know what? Just keep on going. Eventually, they're going to get tired of being nasty. Because being nasty is very draining on your strength.
You still are bringing forth the seed, but it falls on stony ground.
Well, that's their problem, not yours.
Right.
See? And God's the one that gives the increase, right? You keep sowing the seed, and God will give the increase when it's time. But if you realize that being negative all the time is such an energy-draining action, it's terrible. It just drains the life out of you. And these people that's negative all the time, they can't sustain that forever. Eventually, they're going to give up. Love's going to win. I don't care what you think. Love's going to win in the end. Just love them. And eventually, people that's hated me starts talking to me now. I mean, religious folk even. They're just nasty as they could be. There's some fairly close around here that called me devil and everything else, but now they're very friendly. Anytime he goes out of town, say, hey, how about watching my property for me? You know? Well, if I was the devil, why would he be doing that? He must have a different view, huh? They just keep loving them regardless of what they do. And love will win. Promise you. That's the message of this book. But see, that's what we have to understand. If we can't do it, if we can't take over our earth and control our earth, then how are we going to win the world? First, it's got to start home. It's got to start at home right here. Okay? Any questions? Comments?